Amen. Today I want to talk to you about something I believe that's revolutionary, freeing, and that's an element that God gives us in His Word called forgiveness. Amen. I'm calling this divine forgiveness because I believe it's God forgiveness that sets us free. We talked about love, or I talked about love a couple weeks ago, love like Jesus loved. But we need to forgive like Jesus forgives. Amen? Amen? If you got your Bibles, I'm going to have you start this morning, if you would, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. I want to use Jesus' word as we prep this. Lord has given me this element of forgiveness that's been life-changing. It's been freeing. It came about probably 20-some years ago when I saw so many different Christians that were being strangled, dealing with bitterness, resentment, jealousies, but basically just unforgiveness. And we know what Jesus did for us, but I believe as we go through the scriptures, I'm trusting that God will speak to your heart. In chapter 5, verse 43, my category says, love your enemies. This is Jesus' word to us. You've heard it said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I, Jesus, today am telling you, love your enemies. Bless those that would curse you. Do good to those that hate you. And pray for those that would spitefully use you or persecute you. And then he goes on, why? That you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. Now I'm here to tell you that some of the hardest dimensions in our life is to love those that hate us or use us or misuse us. But if we want to be sons and daughters of the Most High, we have to learn to forgive like Jesus did. And he set the pattern, and many follow it that we can read the teachings or we can read the scriptures today on. But this morning, whether you're viewing from a distance or whether you're here at church, if you've got anybody right now you can think of that's hurt you, that you are holding in your heart resentment, unforgiveness, I'm just going to ask you to be open to allow the Holy Ghost to minister to you this morning. I believe not only do we have the potential with divine forgiveness to forgive others, but I believe we also have divine forgiveness to forgive ourselves. I find there's three areas that people walk in unforgiveness. One, they have a hard time sometimes forgiving God because of things that happen in their life. He gets blamed. Even though they receive Him as Lord and Savior, they still harbor this unforgiveness. And you got to forgive God because He works out everything to our good, even if we don't see how it's going to work out. We got to trust that He knows what's best for us, amen? And allows us to go through, says nothing that we can't handle. The other one is forgiveness towards others. And just as life-changing that I found is people that have a hard time forgiving themselves. And it could be before Christ's self, or could be things they've done after Christ. But the key works for the rest of our lives.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, we want to be called the sons and daughters of Christ, and we want to walk in His attributes, and we want to learn to forgive like He did. In Luke 23:34, you don't need to turn to it, the ultimate declaration that Jesus made on the cross just before He gave up the ghost and went down to hell on our behalf to take the keys to hell, death, and the grave away from the enemy. And now we know He's at the right hand of the Father. This is what He declared loud and clear on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now the declaration this morning is many times people that work in resentment, unforgiveness, don't have the capacity to jump into that other person's life. They can only operate in their own. Now, we know one truth. The only person that we can really change is who? Ourselves. But in changing ourselves, we can help free others so that they can free themselves also, because the keys have been given to us, as you will see. One of those keys, if you have your Bibles, look with me to Acts. New Testament now is birthed. We have an enormous number of believers that are rising up, getting saved, and they have needs to be taken care of. So they're looking for people that they can trust that are spiritual to speak into the lives of these, and they chose one Stephen. Stephen was known as a man full of the Holy Ghost and faith, loved the Lord Jesus, gave his heart to the Lord, and now he's just doing the things of the ministry. But he comes upon this Saul, and Saul was a Pharisee that knew the ins and outs of the manuscripts of the Old Covenant, and he was after the New Covenant Christians because he did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was going to the magistrates to get decrees so he could imprison and kill believers. And of course, we know what happened to Saul. He became Paul on the road to Damascus. But there's something significant that Saul, who will become Paul, heard when he's about to give the okay to stone to death Stephen. Stephen was not guilty of anything other than his zealousness for the Lord. And yet, we pick it up. They're trying to harass him and get him. And this is what it says as we look at verse 60. Then Stephen knelt down and he cries out with a loud voice. Now, I want you to note, if you got a way of underlining it, you need to realize there's always a reason why things are emphasized in the scripture. Why would Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, why would it say, as he's about ready to be stoned, he's kneeling down and he's crying out with a loud voice? Do you think God's hard of hearing? No. Do you think this crying out had anything to do with God? No, other than empowering Stephen. It says he cries out with a loud voice and he says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And then he gave up the ghost and went to heaven. So here you got Stephen about to be stoned just because he was in love with the Lord by a Saul given permission. In fact, those that were going to stone him, Saul was holding their garments. Well, there was a reason why he declared that loud and clear, because that is not normal. That's divine forgiveness. Amen. That is supernatural forgiveness that puts things into motion. When we forgive like Jesus forgave, it supernaturally hits people in the heart. Now, I'm going to jump ahead to 2 Timothy chapter 4. By now, Saul has become Paul. He's had his road to Damascus experience. But I attest that by hearing what Stephen said, set the things in motion for Paul to get saved. And we pick it up in 2 Timothy. And let me read chapter 4. I'm going to read one verse, 16. And Paul right now, talking to the Christians, he says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. They all forsook me. Now look at what Paul, who was there when Stephen declared this, forgive them and don't even lay it to their account. Now Paul says, may it not be charged against them. Again, divine forgiveness goes beyond what we can do in the natural, but it freed Stephen at the time of his death, but it also planted seeds into Paul for a time when he was going to be abused and challenged. And I'm here to say it's the same Holy Ghost working through us, in us today. That when we implement this divine forgiveness, we can walk free and happy and joyful. And it doesn't matter who we run into. We're not afraid of seeing anybody because we're harboring nothing in our heart. Yes, amen. And the biggest killer we know and proponent of sickness is stress. Might start in the head, but it gets down inside us. Listen, forgiveness is once and for all. Resentment and grudges and unforgiveness, you are going to rehearse that day after day after day after day. It's going to torment you. It's like you heard someone say, it's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to have some kind of effect. No, it kills us. Jesus went to the cross and he was not guilty at all, and he forgave us. And then we see Stephen, then we see Paul, but they don't have a greater Holy Ghost than we got. The same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead abides in us. So we have the same divine ability to forgive as Jesus did, as Stephen did, and as Paul did. And the only reason we don't implement it, because in our head, we want to hold resentment and unforgiveness and bondage to others. And in essence, it's enslaving us. Forgiveness heals our hearts and unclogs our veins. I believe we have a physical heart, which you all know of, but I believe we got a spiritual heart. The spiritual heart, I believe, is what became brand new when you made Jesus Christ your Lord. You became a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Now, medically speaking, for your physical heart, if it's clogged up, but between surgery and medications, they can help unclog it. I attest that your spiritual heart can be unclogged by love and forgiveness released out of your life. Because if you can love and forgive, it will keep your heart clean and your arteries free. And I believe it will also affect your natural heart. Which even now, we know the scripture says in the last days, men's hearts are going to fail them. I believe it's not just because they're all overweight or they haven't eaten the best way. I believe because of stress and holding aught against ones that they're not able to forgive. So today, my brothers and sisters, whoever those are you think it is, it could be family members. Sometimes the ones you love the most, you hate the most. I remember giving one of Martin Luther King Jr.'s truths. They had King truths, and he says, I have decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear. And it's the same way. I have decided to walk in forgiveness to all people so that I can be free and stress-free and keep my heart open and free, and I can run into anybody, anytime, and not have any heavies in my heart. Now, come on there, folks. I watch, and even to this day, I run into people that have said things towards me or this ministry or whatever that I've already forgiven them. I ask God not to lay it to their account, and what I'm seeing, I'm ready to say hi, and they're dodging because they can't look at me. I'm telling you, we have a power within to walk in freedom. Amen. And it starts by us freeing others. And guess what? You got the freedom to do that or not. It's not going to keep you out of heaven if you don't forgive somebody. It might get you there sooner, but it's not going to keep you out of heaven. Stress is a killer. Unforgiveness is terrible. Now, New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12, you don't need to turn to it, but let me remind you what it says. It's talking about all our loved ones that have gone before us. We've got some beautiful loved ones that you know that are already with the Lord. And this is what the author says. Run the race that God has set before you. There's a race to be run. But before we run the race, it says, lay aside every weight and the sin that takes us out. Now listen, church, I'm not talking about take us out of heaven. I'm saying take us out of kingdom living on earth. Yeah. That which Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it already is going on in heaven. We're supposed to have that kind of life, and we do when we operate as believers in kingdom principles, which means we forgive divinely because it's given to us that way. Yes, sir. And we love unconditional. And it's got nothing to do necessarily with your feelings. Amen? I was reading this book, I was telling you, by the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., because I was going to be ministering in a couple inner city churches, and I wanted this her heartbeat. Her dad was a pastor. Of course, her uncle was Martin Luther King Jr. And of course, her grandpa and grandma were pillars of strength. And she was sharing how she was raised to not hate anybody because she was shielded. She said her grandpa and grandma and her dad and her uncle made sure that we were not exposed as kids to the racial tensions out there. She says, after I grew up, I wondered why my grandpa and grandma always had us go to the bathroom before we went out to a place to eat. I never knew until I was older there was white only and Negro bathrooms. Didn't know that. Didn't know that there were places you couldn't be served. So they were shielded from all that onslaught. Then all of a sudden, at 13 years young, she begins to see the tension all around her. And her uncle was assassinated. Now, when her uncle was assassinated by this gentleman, this Ray, her dad said, "Honey," as she says, "I hate all white people." She says, "Honey, white people didn't kill your uncle. The devil did." And if we can put that in perspective, whatever the things that attack us, yes, the devil may use individuals, but I'm telling you, it's the devil who's come to steal, Amen. Kill, and to destroy. Yes, and she goes on to say this, that she had a roommate. One was white, one was black. She hated the white woman, and she hated her just because she was white. Years later, she realized how stupid that was. And then she had an experience with the living God. And in that experience, she was able to forgive. And she realized there's just as many bad people on all sides of the coin. And she got healed. She fell in love. Now she's passionate. A lot of you might see her. Sometimes she's used. The book she authored, beautiful book. It just helped set people free. But the other thing that she could not forgive, after she'd forgiven the white folk, she was healed in that area, but the other one she couldn't forgive was herself. You see that she had aborted two babies. It's in the book. It's not a secret. And as much as they said, "Oh, this isn't really a life," and all that, she knew in her heart it really was a life. And as she grew up in a Christian home, she hid that so her family didn't know that happened. But even after she gave her heart to the Lord and got freed, she still thought on that day in and day out. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians carrying things that the Lord's already forgiven them of, but they haven't forgiven themselves. And I'm here to tell you there's nothing that you've done that's too rotten that God has not already forgiven you and wants you to get freed, but you got to implement the divine forgiveness and forgive yourself and forgive others. Amen. And it will make your life delightful. When we first started this ministry, it was amazing, but the ones that came against us the most were other Christians. And it would come into me, and I remember one pastor coming and saying, "Pastor, I can't believe you've been such a blessing to so many churches and that." And then I've got this pastor, and he mentioned his name, that says, "Stay away from Shield of Faith and Pastor Weldon. They're too much over the edge," and so forth. He says, I don't understand it. And I says, "Give me your hands." And I said, "You know what? That's my brother." I says, "I already forgive him, Lord. Don't lay it to his account. Let's just pray. God bless him." And it just diffused that. But I've watched people use that to almost take a side. "Well, let me tell you about them." Two wrongs, my mom taught me, don't make a right. So the principle of walking in forgiveness is to free you and keep you free so you don't have to go into bondage. Amen. Individual that's been with me for a long time here, another work came out. This work had a very strong, strong oversight. And there was a group of people that left this work, and they began to gather with one another, and they began to talk about how this pastor was wrong, and they began to gather their thoughts. And just so happened that one of the couples went here. And so what did I say? First of all, that's a brother you're talking about. You need to right now forgive them, and you need to not be a part of this group that's annihilating. They did. They were healthy and ongoing. And sadly, those that continuously stayed in this group to always want to criticize and hold this bitterness towards this, their marriages failed. Some of them died. I mean, it's sad to see what it can do to you when you have been hurt by somebody. You got to let it go. You've got to forgive everybody. It's not a matter of who's right or wrong. It's what's right. And divine forgiveness implements what's right. And what's right is you walk in freedom and peace with all humans. Because it makes life delightful. And the enemy knows, so he'll get hurts and so forth coming to the ones that can hurt you. Because, you know, if you don't have any relationship with someone, probably he's not going to hurt you. So he works on people, family members. I tell people a lot of times when they have loved ones that are, especially moms and dads, are getting the pass, stay out of the inheritance. Give it to your brothers and sisters. Don't let it be something that's just going to annihilate the family. It's not worth it. It's worth loving them, and if they want everything and anything, give it to them. Trust me, it'll keep your heart pure, and you can treat it as a plant. I just planted that into my brothers and sisters, and that way I don't have to have any kind of ought coming towards me. I'm telling you, it's the practicalities that God has laid into divine forgiveness that causes us to have life and life more abundantly. Amen? Amazing. All around my wife and I in our journey of people holding on to things, resentment and grudges that's killing them. Just ran into a pastor not that long ago that was saying that I am not going to forgive this person until they come and apologize to me. And I thought, what bondage? If you're waiting your lifetime for someone to come and forgive themselves for you, you could be waiting till eternity. And it's going to keep you in bitterness. It's going to keep you in resentment. And it's going to keep you holding a grudge. Because there's nothing anybody can do to you that's worth you getting stressed and carrying it and killing yourself over it. Free them, because it'll free you. Amen. I believe today there are going to be some of you that have thought of somebody already that you've allowed to have this animosity, and you're going to forgive them. Because, you know, there's a thing, a lot of times in relationships, people want to bring up, some of you that have been married a number of years, they want to bring up things from the past to put fuel on the present. I think the scripture says, run the race set before you. Don't look back. And what happens is the world and the enemy wants you to continuously look back to try to build a case as ammunition to start an argument and a fight with somebody that you love. That person could already have been dead in the spirit realm, and they're new in Christ, and it's not going to do anything but enslave you. So whatever you couples have had hurts, maybe just yesterday, forgive them and go on. Today is a brand new day. Amen? Amen. Let me just show you the power that's in this divine forgiveness. I want you to look at, if you got your Bibles, John chapter 14. I'm going to give you a quick little training on the power that you have within yourself, thanks to Jesus. John chapter 14, I'm going to pick it up at verse 15. Jesus is getting ready to head out, well, head to the cross, but he's getting ready to release upon some disciples in the upper room after he's gone. And he says this in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. He's in my Bible's in red. It's Jesus speaking. And I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say forever.
Forever.
The Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now he's prophesying that this Holy Ghost, when he leaves, that's been with them is going to soon be in them. And we know the Holy Ghost gets in us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And because of that, we have the power within us, the same divine love that Jesus had, the same divine forgiveness that Jesus had is in us because it came with the kingdom and it came with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so then he goes on in chapter 16 of John, verse 7 says this, Jesus still speaking, still teaching, nevertheless, I'm telling you a truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. And when I go away, the Helper or the Holy Spirit will come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, now I want you to see this. When who has come? When the Holy Ghost comes in us, he's got three functions that he wants us to understand. Number one, when he comes, he's going to convict the world of sin. So this Holy Ghost we get at salvation is going to identify the world's sin. It's also going to and righteousness. Now, everybody look at me so you understand. Righteousness, we become righteous when we receive Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Now remember, we've got a spiritual righteousness in Christ, but we can still do stupid things and be fleshly unrighteous. The good news is, in Christ, we're righteous. When we step out into the flesh and do stupid things, we step out of it. The Holy Ghost that's in us, though, is here to challenge the believers to stay in the righteousness. So we're to remind, you're a mighty man, mighty woman of God. You're the righteousness of Christ. So get out of that natural flesh disposition. And then he's going to also... He says, and judgment. So there's a three areas that the Holy Ghost is going to witness to us. One is sin. Second is right living. And third is judgment. Verse 9, this is the sin that the world is held accountable for. Sin because they do not believe in Jesus. Everybody look at me. I don't care all the nonsense that they did before Christ, all the commandments they couldn't keep, all the girlfriends or boyfriends they had, all the times they lied and everything, all of that did not matter. The sin that the world is accountable for is the sin of unbelief. They've got to believe in Jesus. Once you believe in Jesus, it's a whole nother story. Now it's the righteousness. And it goes on, it says, and righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. First conviction is the world is going to be convicted that they didn't believe in the Lord Jesus. Second, this Holy Ghost in us is going to challenge people that are believers in an area that they can't see. It's called faith. Righteousness because I go to my Father and they see me no more. Just because we don't see Jesus doesn't mean that Jesus isn't here. To believers, you can't tell an unbeliever. They'll even laugh. They'll make fun. Even people on television says, if somebody talks to Jesus, they must be insane. I'm sorry, but there's a whole bunch of us that talk to Jesus and he talks back to us. It's called sanity, not insanity. But the world can't understand that because it's lunacy. But we do. And that's part of the Holy Ghost. And then judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Who's the ruler of this world? It's Satan, it's the devil. And what happens is he still tries to harass believers. And yet all we have to do is remind him of his faith. I belong to Jesus. Get beneath my feet in Jesus' name. You are judged. The Lord rebuke you. That's what this divine in us does. It is Holy Ghost power that allows us to forgive the world because they don't know Jesus, and it's okay for us to forgive the believers because they're doing stupid stuff. I heard an illustration, and it's so rich in my heart, I shared it with the men's group this week. One of the most torturous tortures that they did in the Roman era, besides the crucifix, was they would take a dead person and somebody they wanted to punish, they would strap that dead carcass on that live person's back so he couldn't shed it. And when that body began to decay and everything, it began to saturate that live carcass, and it was very horrendous. Why, as believers, do we want to drum up the old man and strap him on us and begin to do the stupid stuff that was buried with Christ? But we do. But we have an avenue the Lord's given us to say, Satan, get lost. That old man, I am not going to resurrect. I am not going to strap that dead guy on my back no longer. I'm going to go with Jesus and the Holy Ghost. I'm going to live in love and forgiveness, and I am going to enjoy my life. And I'm not going to let anybody. Kingdom, right standing, peace, and joy are not natural, and nobody can take that from us unless you give it up. I choose to not let anybody take my peace or my joy or my right standing. It's a choice I make every day. And when something comes at me, a diffuser is, Lord, I forgive them. Don't even lay it to their account. You don't even have to get in someone's face. And I didn't go around hunting up these pastors and say, I heard what you said. And no, I forgave them, asked God not to lay it in account, and I'm still in love with them. Love was not based on what they did to me. Love is based on what Christ did for me. And it was good, and it still is good. That's why, this is how I sort this out. In Mark 11, where it talks about have faith in God, and it goes on, it says, if you speak to that mountain, it'll be removed and cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt, it'll happen. But it goes on in verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. And then it goes on, it says, so that your heavenly Father will forgive you. Now listen to me, church. The Heavenly Father forgave you of everything that you did before Christ. And when you do things after Christ, He still forgives you, but you have to loose yourself from the ensnarement because the Word still works. Amen. Yes, sir. If you want His Word to work on your behalf, you've got to work it on behalf of what it's about. That's why the Bible says in Galatians, God cannot be mocked. Whatever a believer sows, He will reap. If you sow to the flesh, as a believer, you can still sow to your flesh. You reap corruption. Do you understand? You're forgiven, but you allow yourself to step into the natural and put on that dead old guy, and you become to have the issues of it. The Lord stands over His Word ready to present it, but we've got to implement it. That's why when 1 John 1:9 is out there and it says, people say, and I've listened to grace preachers, oh, that's only for unbelievers. I don't believe it is. I believe it's for both. It says, if you confess your faults, He's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm not talking about before Christ, but I believe people get enslaved, have to implement forgiveness. My wife, I'll tell you right now, if I hurt her, she can say, well, that's great that God's forgiven you, but she wants me. Also, I'm sorry, honey. It's freeing. Don't be so emphatic. It's freeing. We harbor nothing towards anybody except forgiveness and love. I figured, I can't believe I got to this age in my life. It's gone so fast. On earth, it's a short journey. But eternity is forever. If it's forever, I want to enjoy down here all the way to the top. I don't want stress. I don't want body. I'm not too big to say I'm sorry. I'm not too big to forgive people that have been rotten towards me because I'm not going to let that slave me. And neither should you. Because God says you're not just conquerors. You're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to ask you this morning, come on now, lay down every weight and any sin. Just lay it down. Say, Lord, I'm laying it down. I'm not carrying that anymore. I'm not strapping on that old guy. I'm going to remind you, Lord, He was crucified. And when I came out of that water, I'm just saying that dead guy's staying in it. Don't strap him back on and start doing the stupid stuff. And all of a sudden you get stress and you're losing your joy and your peace. And the Lord says he's come to give us life. Yes. And life, Zoe life, more abundantly. Amen. Can you imagine, just envision this with me. This is what I'm envisioning. Because when we pray with the pastors once a month and so forth, I'm envisioning the body of Christ coming to a place in Saginaw. That's where my faith is, because it's hard to do this worldwide. That they're going to come to a place, believers, everybody say believers, are going to come to a place that they're going to realize, whether you go to a Catholic church, a Methodist church, a Lutheran church, a Pentecostal church, a non-denominational church, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, we're brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And I believe this is what's going to happen. The Bible says how sweet and beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For in that atmosphere, it talks about the anointing that comes down the beard and the garb of Aaron. I'm here to tell you, you're all priests. You don't have to go down Aaron's beard. It's your priests and kings of the Most High God. I see this unity that the Lord is going to release in the church of Saginaw, where believers are going to realize we're on the same team. And when we do, it's going to infuriate the devil. And he's going to try to act up and get us to hate one another. I hate to hear pastors criticizing other churches when we're on the same team. That's the enemy's tools. What we do is bless the others. And if we've heard something, we hear. Jesus did this principle. When they came and said, oh, Jairus' daughter's dead, don't trouble me. Hearing, but overhearing. So when some junk comes your way, you're smiling real big. My wife says, I got these cat eyes that she knows I'm not really listening. That's what I think Jesus simply. Hearing, but overhearing, says the Amplified. In other words, he wasn't going to let that affect him. And he went and raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Stay with me. So here we are, body of Christ. We're just a faction. We're just 100 people coming and excited for the Lord. But I would bet you that you love the body of Christ. And I will bet you that a high percentage of you do not criticize other believers. And you know why? Because I have people tell me all the time, this is the first place they've ever gone to that we don't put down and criticize all these other works. Isn't that ridiculous? Why would we do that? Because we think we got a corner on the market? No. I realize, and I know PK and I know Pastor Mike realize, not everybody's a fit here. But that doesn't make us better or less or make someone else better. It's reality. We all need to get where we can grow and develop and be all God's called us to be and be excited for one another. So when this body of Christ and the anointing coming down our body, it says in that atmosphere of oneness and unity, it says God commands his blessing. This is what I believe is going to happen to Saginaw. I believe Saginaw is a forerunner. I've already had, they had me talk to a bunch of Flint pastors. What's happening to Saginaw? Crime rate in those streets you've done, 200% down, and the whole city's 80% violent crime. I said, this is what happens. The body of Christ is coming together, and we're no longer trying to kill one another. No more friendly fire, but we're getting on the same page to be an encouragement to one another. And in that atmosphere, the Lord can trust us, and he, boom, commands the blessing on Saginaw. Isn't our ultimate to see this whole city restored? Can you imagine if Saginaw goes, so goes the valley? That's why people say, why are you so into Saginaw? You're way out here. Because as Saginaw goes, so goes the community of this region. Can you imagine? Saginaw already is now in the top, 80 of people want to live here, and it used to be in the bottom. I'm telling you, something's happening. And I believe it's because the body of Christ is coming together. Mark my word, the next great movement of God is going to be just lifting up Jesus. No man, no woman, no ministry. Just Jesus. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. Get ready. We're on a verge of something exploding in a good fashion. And I'm going to tell you, this is what we told the pastors, because this beautiful Methodist pastor is believing for revival. Oh, we can all go to one location. You heard me share. I said, brother, it's going to explode. Reformation is going to change the whole community. We don't have enough churches today that's going to hold all the people that are going to want what we have. Rise and shine, for our light has risen. Darkness is covering the earth, gross darkness the people, but he's rising within us. It says they're going to run to us. It's the kingdom in you that they're running to. It's that divine forgiveness that you operate in the midst of the storm. You're able to forgive people that want to hurt you, family, friends, neighbors. That's divine. And they're going to run to us. And it says wherever the river takes us, we're going to release healings. Get ready. You're going to be used powerfully to set people free. You're going to see your neighbors get healed. You're going to see them set free. You know why? Because the Lord loves them and wants them in the camp. And sometimes it takes a miracle to get them in. Amen? Amen. I think we're close. And that's what's going to happen. And we'll celebrate. I always tell people that are having a tough time, or maybe they're going through something that's very painful. I says, just remember this. There's coming a time in the near future. We're all going to be in heaven. And we'll laugh about these tough times. Come on now, eternity is forever. Wouldn't you like to go to eternity knowing that you love the body of Christ and you weren't picking and choosing and hurting one another? It's okay to transition into another work, but don't devastate from where you've come. Pray and bless and ask that you be a plant that blesses us. You know what? You'll live peaceful and joyful. You'll enjoy your life. And you won't have to feel like, now I know we tease here. You know, I'm a Spartan fan. Some of you are Michigan. We go at it like that. That's not how it needs to be in the body of Christ. We're all Jesus fans. Amen? So, my brothers and sisters, let's stand to our feet. Those that are listening and closing, I challenge you as we close this service. If there's anyone that you have been harboring resentment or grudge, forgive them this day. It's this easy. Grab a hold of those hands again. We're a body ministry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're standing, there's a corporate anointing here, and I pray even now, those that are viewing from a distance with us right now, whoever, whenever you've been hurt right now in your own little way, just say, Lord, I forgive them. Ask him not to even lay it to their account. Get free this day. I pray that each and every one that's viewing today will forgive any and all that have hurt them, whether they are loved ones or whether they're someone they haven't seen in a long time. Father, we're praying for a spirit of oneness and unity. I'm praying a release of divine forgiveness to flow from this 10322 Swan Creek to impact every audience right now, to free lives and free selves. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's anyone in this listening audience or in this church that's harboring towards themselves and they're beating themselves up, Lord, I ask right now, a wounded spirit, nobody but you can mend. So I pray right now, the power within them to forgive themselves and to stand up and to run this race, Lord. Father, we stand as a body here representing a major body around the world, and we thank you that what you're doing, you will complete, and we give you the praise and all the glory. And all of us in agreement said,
amen.
Amen. Love on one another as you leave this morning. If you need special prayer, the altars are open.